When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Okay, Posey question first. Posey's not uppity. Posey is demanding and almost perfect through my, admittedly, not the most educated eye, but I've been in that locker room a time or two.
Orange and black colored glasses, for sure.
He is next to perfect as a leader. From the position he plays, to the way he handles people, to his knowledge of the game, to his understanding of all pieces of the picture, Buster Posey, this is an absolute grand slam of an idea. He is absolutely qualified. He will be respected by everybody inside the organization and out. And I know that he would not take this job if he did not think that he could do an unbelievable job of it.
And I defend him for the Hunter Strickland incident because Hunter Strickland is a knucklehead, and he threw at Bryce Harper knowing full well what was going to happen. And I'm sure Buster had had a conversation with him prior to that saying, dude, don't throw at him. We don't need to get into this. And he did it. And so Buster just stood there. Normally I would rip a guy for not defending his teammate, but not this time.
Yeah.
That was a clear cut case where Hunter Strickland went rogue and Buster's like, all right, you can go ahead and handle this one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You want him, you got him, Toyota. There you go. All right. Now, the other question, and here's my promise. I will wait to be wrong and then surprised if the Giants sign Juan Soto. Until then, I refuse to give any time, credence, or energy to the idea of Juan Soto joining the San Francisco Giants.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Not happening.
So we're not going to the DR to try to woo him?
Well, I'll go to the DR. That sounds fun. Yeah, we'll do a show anywhere you want.
No doubt.
I don't care. Yeah, I'll talk
to you
anywhere.
I'm glad you're saying that because I mean, every time we've gone through this, it's gotten to be less and less likely. And I know with Buster Posey, it feels like a new regime, and now there's a newfound chance. But you watch him as a Yankee playing with Judge and with Stanton and in that city. And Dave Fleming even said it to us about a half an hour ago. He's a lot happier on that side of the country than he is on this side. So I don't think that Juan Soto is going anywhere.
We could make an entire list of all the reasons why it's positively absurd. From his experience on the West Coast not being good, simply to the fact that he's in the playoffs right now and is a Yankee. He's a Yankee. We literally just did this last year or 2 years ago when people got to the end of it and went, oh, yeah, people don't leave the Yankees. I forgot. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Fool me once, great. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We're not playing that game. And, oh, by the way, we're sitting here talking about a ballpark that has a right center field alley of like 415 feet. Like, if you wanted to go to Juan Soto and go, okay, here's what we're going to do. You go get all your offers from other teams. And when you're done, you come to us. We will raise that offer by 10% per year. We will move the fences in at least 20 feet, and we will build a structure in McCovey Cove and call it the Soto Boto.
That's actually funny.
That's the only way you're getting him to even pay attention to you, in my opinion, and I don't
think... Tell me more about the Soto Boto. What are you envisioning
here? Well, first of all, it's going to block McCovey Cove Day from getting any more balls.
That's right.
About enough of that. The Giants have had it with you. Okay? Big barge. Let's call it a barge. Hmm. A floating barge. It's got animals. It's got a bar. It's got a hot tub on it. Okay? It's got music. It's got a DJ. It's got flashing lights. All of that. It's the Soto Boto. And if he hits the Soto Boto with a ball, free tickets for everybody. Everybody's reimbursed for their expenses for the entire night. That's my idea.
Yeah.
Juan, are you coming?
Still not coming. Still not coming.
Wait a minute. Okay, but you're getting offered $550 million.
That's enough for me, Doug.
You're getting offered $550 million, whatever that is per year. Let's say it's 10 years, $550 million. You make $55 million.
That's Brock Purdy money.
We'll give you, not even. We'll give you a 10% raise per year.
Yeah.
All right. So now you're making about 61 with us per year.
Who's going to protect me in the lineup? Am I hitting in front of Yaz and behind Bailey?
In front of Yaz. I'm taking Yaz's position. You will be knocking in Jung-Hoo Lee and protected by Matt Chapman.
Ooh, where do I sign? You had me at Soto Boto.
And we've got this youngster named Bryce Eldridge. He's 20 years old, and we promise you that he will also be hitting the Soto Boto at least twice a month.
Yeah, twice. I like the idea, but I liked it better when you said...
I didn't get him?
Nah, I don't think we're getting him. I don't think we're getting him.
We're not getting him. So why would he do that?
Yeah.
And I don't
want... So I like your idea about not talking about it. This is fun, but I actually was thinking on the drive in today, as I was mulling over the Farhan and Buster news, like, I am not looking forward to a... December, January, and February of Juan Soto. He bought a cable car. He bought a replica cable car. He got sourdough bread delivered. He's coming.
Here's the only adjustment I'd love to make to the conversation. What bothers me, and so don't make it Soto, any free agent. What has bothered me through the years is when people get sarcastic and sound like the Giants are some sort of second-rate joke of a place.
Right.
I get bothered when people will be like, who would come here? Like, here is stupid. The team is awful. The city's awful. You got a nerd running the show. This place is lame, dog. Stop. Stop it.
You don't have to be that dramatic, though.
But
to
that's what it sounds like from a lot of people.
I get that, but the reality is, and maybe the Buster move changes it, but the reality is... You don't have a lot of good hitters in the lineup. You are dead flat mediocre in terms of record. And you have a general manager up until today who is really, really tinkering at the very least.
Yes, but I would argue that none of those things are the reason why an Aaron Judge won't come. The reason why a Bryce Harper and an Aaron Judge won't come is probably more like ballpark and taxes. Like, that's probably what we're actually talking about.
And filth, crime, and drugs. No. You got to throw that in there.
I mean, who doesn't like a little bit of that? But anyway, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just get bothered when people use, oh, the Giants didn't get this free agent. All right, let's spend 20 minutes talking about how awful here is and what a bozo of an organization this is. It's not that. It's not that. It's a lot of things. And I'm sure it's different for every person, but I gotta bet that it's a lot more about ballpark and taxes than it is about who would come there. Their city connects are ugly. It's just like, come on, man. The Giants have plenty of credibility within the industry.
They do.
That's not the problem.
It's not, but they're not the number one destination.
And no,
if they're
of course
the number
not.
Five or six destination, and you want to put it that way, then that's kind of where you wind up with Shohei and Judge and Bryce Harper. And, you know, you're a finalist and you're in there.
Yeah.
You might be like at the old town fair where they'd give out ribbons to the top six, and the blue ribbon goes to first, and then the red ribbon, and then the white ribbon goes to third, and then you get down to like the copper ribbon, and then the yellow ribbon. They're kind of in that yellow ribbon status where
I don't know, man.
You were fifth in the county fair. Your blueberry pie was good, but there were four pies better.
Maybe, but again, if we're judging them based on Ohtani and Judge and Harper, you're literally talking about the creme de la creme, top three free agents of the last 8 years in the sport.
But this guy is in that same group.
Absolutely, and that's why I'm telling you he ain't coming.
Right.
But Correa, Chapman, Snell, Soler, right? Like,
yeah, now we're reaching.
No, we're not. Like
Soler?
Hold on.
Soler? Guy had one good year.
First of all, that's not true. And secondly,
it one great year.
Where that conversation has ended the last 3 years is, quote, nobody's coming here. Well, yeah. Yeah, actually, a bunch of people have said yes. A bunch of people have said yes. The very, very top have not. Other than that, like, yeah, you're not going to bat 1,000, but the idea that a free agent won't join here, I think, has been disproven. No?
Oh, a free agent will come here.
Thank you. That's all I'm getting
at. The top tier won't. And
right, and I think that that's more about ballpark and taxes than it is about Farhan.
Blake Snell is a top-tier guy, correct. And he did come here, and it seems like he's going to leave here. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he opts out, and they pay him $40 million a year, and he stays. I don't know how that's going to go. Matt Chapman, good, solid. For me, if I'm another player and I see that Chapman came and decided to stay, that's a vote of confidence on what's going on here. I give you that.
And got 5 years, which I would argue was sign number one that Farhan was not running that deal. I'm sure, I know Boris wanted to make clear that, yes, I've been talking, of course, still the president of baseball operations. But at that point, the fact that that only happened like 4 weeks ago, if you think Farhan was running that boat by himself while the board of directors probably damn well knew that Farhan Zaidi was on his way out, he wasn't. And that's why Andy Baggerly got smoke about the fact that Buster Posey was getting involved. Right? Like, let's go back to that story for a second where Bags had the report and then he took a little bit of heat for the report. I'd like to go back and have Bags' back because look at what just happened. He's probably very correct. Buster's hands were all over this. Why? Because he's the president of baseball operations and they knew that then.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's go to Drew in Sunnyvale, who's back. Hi, Drew. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It is going well. How are you, Drew?
I'm doing good, doing good. Yeah, so, I mean, see, when I first saw the news, I'm like Willard. I thought Farhan should have been gone a year ago. I think this was done probably a year too late, so... You know, not surprised about it at all, considering the results from this year. And Buster Posey saying that, look, like, as a fan, this means so much to me as, like, Buster Posey, like, on, like, the Mount Rushmore of Bay Area athletes in from the 2000s onwards. Like, he's definitely on there. And, I mean, I think the world of him as a player, as a person, as a leader. But, like, all I have to do is go back to, like, who was the last player or beloved player who was hired as an executive for their team on sort of a part-time basis, but was given a bigger role? And, like, the first person I think about is Magic Johnson, right? And that didn't go well for the Lakers. And so, like, My question is how is Buster Posey going to be different from, you know, that sort of a person? Is he going to be more like a John Lynch, or is he going to be more like a Magic Johnson? Well, so that's my first question.
And what about a Jerry West, Drew?
Jerry West was he was great. He was fantastic. But like the proof still needs to show that he's of that ilk, right? I don't think Jerry West became a GM right away, if I'm not mistaken.
Not right away, but I guess the reason I bring it up is it's not like it's never worked before. I think each one of these are mutually exclusive. And then the other way I would answer that question is, how could I do this without sounding like I'm taking a shot at Magic Johnson? Magic's one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Magic Johnson and Buster Posey are two very, very different situations.
And I totally agree with
that.
Do
you know what I mean?
I totally agree with that premise. I'm just telling you where my mind is going, where when you hire a person on the first day of the offseason that was an ex-player, that is a beloved franchise icon that has no experience on the job. That's all.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Well,
he's had experience being there for the past year or two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's been there. It's not like he just came in straight up cold. Like, Steve Kerr came in out of the broadcast booth. Now, he had experience on Popovich's bench, and he was in Phoenix. And so, everybody's got some experience if you come from the league.
Totally. And I, listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's definitely going to work. I don't know what's going to happen next. But what I think is you got to be open-minded to these situations based on who the individual is. You can't just automatically go, does it work for players to become executives? Well, sometimes yes and sometimes no. In this particular case, I would have a lot more confidence than not based on who this individual is. And I think he's quietly been groomed for this over the last couple of years without us even realizing it.
I think the bigger question is about whether or not he can put together a staff. And, you know, Dave Fleming joined us about an hour ago, and he talked about changes to the coaching staff.
Said there'd be a lot of them.
Changes to the front office. And he even mentioned, like, bringing in a GM who he can work with. And Dave didn't go so far as to say that Pete Patella is going to be gone, but it seems to me like Pete Patella is going to probably be gone.
I would guess, yes.
I would guess as well. And so he talked about the changes to scouting and player development and coaching staff and a new GM and people to come in and help him with the contracts and the other legalities that go with having his job. So for me, that becomes a more impactful question than, can Buster do it? Buster has to surround himself with people who can also do it. You need to get better in scouting. Like Dave Fleming said to us, one of the biggest knocks on the Farhan regime has been failed first-round picks. First-round picks who've not come in and developed and popped. And, you know, Bryce Eldridge might actually be a final piece of his legacy if he comes in next year. Yep. And he shows signs of being a great player or a future all-star or whatever. That's a Farhan guy. So that goes down on his legacy. But for me, that's a big, big part of Buster's regime is player development and being able to scout and find players that you can then develop so that in 3 to 5 years, you can have some homegrown talent.
Well, of course.
More homegrown talent.
Yeah, we focus all on the free agency every year, and it's definitely not the most important thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can look at all of the good teams out there, and for every time there's a Shohei Ohtani and a Mookie Betts and a Freddie Freeman, that's all true. But then go through the rest of the roster and find a Will Smith and find a, you know, and this is a bad example because now he's been hurt and not the same, but for a while it was Walker Buehler. Like, they had a great, they still do have a great farm system as well. Same with the San Diego Padres, even though they've made a lot of moves in free agency and whatnot. But that's going to be absolutely fundamental to all this. I don't want to talk like it's a done deal. I just think that when you look at who that human being is, what his skill set is, what he's done in multiple aspects of the game, I just don't know what the box is that he doesn't check. Maybe that's how I would respond. What characteristic does Buster not have that makes you think, I'm a little worried about that?
Well, we don't know if he can evaluate talent, and we don't know if he can acquire talent. These are things he's never been asked to do. Now, Buster knows what good baseball looks like. Buster's been around enough good baseball, so he should know what a good baseball player looks like, a good young player, but he's never been in charge of evaluating talent and acquiring talent. So that would be a question that you can fairly have about Buster Posey.
Of course, yeah. No, all of these things are going to be TBD. But when you think about credibility, leadership, dealing with people, baseball man, understands the game,
right.
Champion, the approach that probably will find the middle ground between analytics and not, I just, you know what I mean? There's just a green check next to all of those things. Now, that's just on paper. Now you got to go do
exactly.
It, be right, and all of those things. But I, very rarely have I had this much faith in a hire right when it happens. This feels good.
But it's tough to feel any other way,
right?
Because it's Buster freaking Posey. So Buster Posey is, again, a giant. And I know he's been a giant for the past couple of years as part of the ownership, and he's kind of been a silent minority in the front office. But now Buster's got the keys to the car, and it's Buster Posey. So, of course, you feel good about what could possibly happen because, like you said, Buster Posey's a guy beyond reproach.
Let's go to Jay Money in the city next up. What's up, Jay Money? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? So I got an unpopular opinion. I think Farhan has done a great job. he's picked up players at the right time. And he, like, let's start off with Alex Dickerson, a lot of other guys when they were kind of just flat on the bats. He started brought in Donovan Solano, players like that. And I think that he kind of, I think he has a bad reputation now just getting all these like players. And it's kind of, he only has deals with the Mariners now. So Farhan's just a good PR move, I guess. Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Well, yeah, Jay Money, thanks. So, okay, let's get into this for a second. You know, I've tried to fight this battle for a long time, and it's a losing battle. And he, like Jay Money said, this is an unpopular opinion. Okay, like, you can go deal by deal, and you can go, oh, that was good. You know, he started with Alex Dickerson. All right, Alex Dickerson, that was nice. But what'd you get out of that? What's the tale of the tape?
Well, what did they turn him into? You'd have to, you know, it's like a family tree of Farhan moves. Pick any player and figure out what they used to acquire that player, and then you take that player and figure out what they got from that player, and then you take those players and figure out what they got from those players. I think when I look at the Farhan Zaidi regime, and I've used the phrase dumpster diving before, he is elite at thrift store shopping, dumpster diving, and back end of the roster maneuvering. He's probably the best in baseball at that. Where he's fallen short, in my opinion, and the opinion of many others, is the top end stuff. He's acquired a bunch of number 7 and number 8 hitters, platoon guys, you know, situational guys, but he's been unable to put together a powerful lineup with any consistency.
Right.
So it's not that his trades were bad. And I shared that article with you before about the 57 Farhan Zaidi trades ranked.
Right, but it's stunning.
And it's hilarious.
Well, yeah, it's stunning how quickly you get to Jackson Reitz or whatever. You're like, that's the fifth biggest trade that he's ever had, is you flipped somebody for this, that, or the other. The only time Farhan has dealt with a big name, the only time, is when he acquired Chris Bryant. And then he rightfully let him walk. And he has been a disaster of a signing for the Colorado Rockies. So I get that. But I think that that's what Dave Fleming said very, very clearly to us. He was fascinated by the fact that through this entire regime, the Giants were so focused on rebuilding the farm system. And then once they did start to have some names that people were interested in, they never used them for anything. They held on to all of them, and I'd argue the majority of them, like we're sort of feeling right now about Luciano, the majority of them are not going to be what you hope them to someday be. And so the whole thing ends up feeling like, whether true or not, because their payroll was big this year, but it feels like everything you're doing is always at the discount rack. And fans, that's not going to get them going. You know what I mean? I don't go to Target with the kids and then tell them, wait till you see the deals I got. Wait till you see how much money I saved at Target. They don't care about that. They want
the good stuff.
What'd you get, Dad? What'd you get? Well, I got Kleenex, 2-for-1.
Yeah.
It's a great deal. You got Kleenex? Did you bring any electronics home?
Right.
Well, no, not this time.
Yeah.
Maybe next year. Nobody cares.
I misspoke. It was 70 trades from Farhan Zaidi. Mm-hmm. And this article is from last July. And he has this writer has ranked the 70 trades, the top 70. And I know between last July and now, you could probably add another 10 trades on top of it. But you're right. And none of these, like, there's the Yaz, you got Tyro Estrada for cash. You traded Sean Anderson for Lamont Wade Jr., the famous Darren Ruff trade, where you got J.D. Davis, Zapucky Seymour, and Zwack, and it goes on and on. And the Franklin Van Gerp for Alex Dickerson is actually ranked number 5.
Well, that's exciting.
It's also exciting, and you know, you traded Soler, and you traded so many different guys, Haniger, and you know, what you're left with was, instead of 79 and 83, you're 80 and 82.
Well, I wonder this about Farhan. You know, like, we've all, and I don't want to say all of us, I bet the majority of people listening have seen the movie Moneyball. And if that's what you come from, sometimes, and this is true for all of us, it's very, very difficult to find a departure from just who you are and the way you do things. You know what I mean? How many of you people who have had your 60th birthday, it'd be fun to have Steiny in here right now, how many of you still get a newspaper that is delivered to your driveway every day? How many of you still have a phone?
Landline.
You have a landline at home? Do you?
No, but you I did as of my previous marriage in 2020. Landline, okay. Never landline. Used.
No.
And we had three or four different phones throughout the house, none of which would ever ring or be answered.
Perfect. If I went to my parents right now and said, you know what? I want you to start reading your articles on the computer, and you both have cell phones. When I want to get in touch with you, I'm going to call your cell phone. Their bodies would start shaking, and my mom would, I think, potentially rather leave the planet than do that.
Can you help me with my phone?
Oh, my God.
That's my favorite.
Because that's who they are. That's the way they've done things their whole lives. I wonder that about Farhan. You know, Farhan came up with the A's, and that's the way you do things. And then you got to a point, even if you look at his tenure with the Los Angeles Dodgers, where he was not number one in command, but they were very, very hesitant to go crazy with massive deals. And then Farhan left, and here comes Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and Shohei Ohtani. Now, Farhan has been forced to get in that same boat and offer those same contracts, but he hasn't ever landed them. And sometimes I wonder if it's because he doesn't have enough energy behind them. Because I just don't think that's the way he likes doing business. He's much more comfortable with the crap that you just read, where somebody from Richmond got traded for somebody from Pawtucket, and you wait till you see this guy overdo his value. You know what I mean?
By 3%.
Like, one of his great wins was Kevin Gausman. Because we called Kevin, and we told him, Kevin, your split finger's amazing. The data shows that you should be throwing the split finger more. Kevin threw the split finger more. You know what it made him? $100 million paid by someone else. So that's what Farhan did well, but that's the massive gap. The disconnect is Farhan did some things well, and those things offered very little to the fans.
Because a lot of these guys were here today and gone tomorrow. And I could run through more of these trades and you would laugh. And some of them you'd be like, what? Such as Alex Blandino in cash for Stuart Fairchild of the Mariners, of course.
Good Lord.
Alexander Canario and Caleb Killian for Chris Bryant.
For Bryant, sure. I know that trade.
Cash for Trevor Gott. Blake Sable for Jake Wong. Cash for Alex Young. And on it goes where you take three of your not-so-good players, and you get another guy who's not so good, but better than they think, and he outperforms by 5%, and you chalk it up as a win. And meanwhile, fans are clamoring for some of these big names that a lot of these other teams that are still playing and playing later this week, they've got some of these household names.
We should get Kevin Dan on the show so he can say, cash me out 70 times! Because that's essentially what it feels like.
Cash me out one time!
No, 70 times.
You remember the Jordan Johnson and cash for Connor Joe trade?
I don't.
Of course not.
I remember when Connor Joe ended up starting in left field, though. And then I remember when fan pressure had the Giants basically get rid of him 16 games later. And then I remember Connor Joe becoming actually a really good major league hitter.
Yeah, when he was gone.
So again, it's not that he's wrong. It's just that there's not enough of a payoff. Like, that's not the way people want to watch professional sports. Look at the Niners and the Warriors. Nobody wants to hear about your good deal, right? Anybody who's got a spouse, how do you feel when your spouse gets home and goes, wait till you hear how much money I saved today?
Yeah.
How's that feel?
Well, feels good if you got a joint account.
No, it doesn't, because it means you spent a bunch of money largely on stuff that's not going to get any interest at all. That's the problem. Daniel in Sonoma County. Hi, Daniel. Thank you for calling.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
What's up, Daniel?
Big fan of you guys. Big fan of you guys. Love listening to you.
Thank you.
I am a Dodgers fan, but I do definitely love listening to you guys.
That's the end of this call.
A little bit.
No, I'm sorry. No, go ahead, Daniel. Go ahead.
A little bit just about Farhan. I think he made a couple good moves with us. He did pick up, you know, Darvish, I think, at the deadline, and then maybe Machado the next year. But I think you guys made a good point that he never really signed anybody to a long-term deal, though. So I think he did some good things for us, but it was time for him to go for us, and I think it was time for him to go for you guys, too. I think you guys know what you got in Buster, and it's a good thing going on, I think.
Well, Daniel, thank you for calling very much, and I actually have to share a little story. And once again, Dodger fans.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the reasons that I was so high on Farhan Zaidi is because, look, I lived and worked in Los Angeles when Farhan was down there, and Dodger fans were everywhere, and Dodger fans loved Farhan Zaidi. He coincided with constant division championships. He was very highly regarded. And when the Giants hired Farhan away from the Dodgers, you could not find a Dodger fan in LA that wasn't feeling this way. They're like, oh crap. Oh crap. The Giants are going to come catch us because Farhan really, really knows what he's doing. That's how they felt. And I did. I'm not saying I took all my cues from that, but I took some of my cues from that. They followed him closely. He did what they felt was a wonderful job there. And he had done a wonderful job with the A's. And people in baseball communities were like, there's nobody smarter than this guy. He's brilliant. And so there was an excitement and a trust that he was going to come and really, really do some wonderful things. And I just think the adaptations that he had were too little too late.
Right, and the adaptations were this last year in the offseason. And he got the green light to spend, and he went out and he spent. And I've said this all along, Mark, that I think that he did, for the most part, what he was asked to do. He brought in Jorge Soler, a slugger. You found a center fielder with some speed and some defense, and you brought in a pitcher and a great third baseman who could play some defense. So you went out and you actually delivered on some free agents. And then your young players from the farm system, you had a number of them come up and play well, develop, and look good. Yet at the end of it, you are what your record says you are, and you're 80-82, and you could point to a lot of things. Soler not being as good, Jung-Hoo Lee getting hurt, Blake Snell missing the first half of the year for the most part, and all the rest of it. And, you know, the Marco Luciano conundrum, the puzzle, you put him at short, and that was scary, and then you sent him back down, and you brought him up, and you let him DH, and then you stopped having him DH, and that's one thing I hope gets asked tomorrow of Buster Posey.
What, Marco?
What do you think about Marco Luciano? What's the plan?
Did you hear what they're
for
doing?
Marco Luciano?
They're sending him to the Fall League to practice in the outfield.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean...
I think that what they saw this year has helped them to the position that he is not an infielder.
Right.
Yeah.
And it took you 6 years to figure that out? And again, this is not to throw dirt on the casket of Farhan Zaidi.
No,
but
this is on everybody. I don't know right. How the hell, like, the
well,
scouting.
Well, this is where Dave Fleming talks about player development, because when you have a player, a young player who looks like he can hit, he's got an ability gap to gap, he's got some power and all the rest of it, let's find him a place to play. And if you thought it was shortstop for all these years, and then he gets to the bigs and it's clearly not shortstop, what are we doing, to borrow your phrase?
Yeah.
You know? And you throw him at second. He never played anywhere but short his entire minor league career, other than a brief stint in the winter league where I think he played a couple of innings at outfield. So to me, it's a shocker that you made it this far without at least giving him a chance to do what he's going to do now.
Well, and I mean, look, even this is something that might be tucked under the covers because a lot of people sort of moved on from Giants baseball a number of weeks ago. But did you even hear about, did you see the Tyler Fitzgerald, Marco Luciano play on a pop-up over to second base? It was a game the Giants eventually won. They held off. I can't even remember who they were playing, Mariners, Braves, whatever it was. They were up by a lot of runs and then held on and won by one run in the end. And part of the reason the other team came back was because of an error made over at second base. And it led to Luciano and Fitzgerald kind of getting in each other's faces in the dugout right after the inning. And the reason was a ball that was popped up to what could only be described as absolutely unequivocally second base. But Fitzgerald ran all the way over from shortstop and basically bumped Luciano to try to catch the ball, and the ball fell in between them. And the two of them were not communicating. But what struck me was, sure, communication. You guys need to hear each other. Why would Tyler Fitzgerald, why would he even feel like he needs to go all the way over there? Why would you do that? There's only one answer to that question. You don't trust Marco Luciano. Like, that was, and I don't even know if he, that was like a thought where he's like, oh God, it's Marco. I think that's just something that ends up in your bloodstream.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now, and it was in San Diego, 7-2 in the seventh inning, and it's absolutely because it was Marco Luciano.
Mm-hmm.
Fitzgerald's playing about 12 feet to the shortstop side of second base, and this ball is about 28 feet to the right of second base, and it's right to Luciano, Mark. I mean, this thing...
No, there's like zero question.
It's like a kick returner and a fair catch. He is underneath the baseball. And Fitzgerald's at the 15, he's at the 20, the 25, the 30. He goes all the way over there, and it's boop! And it's shoulder to shoulder, glove to glove. Yeah, so it absolutely was because it was Marco Luciano.
Yeah, yeah. And you can't
I'd forgotten
that.
About
yeah,
this.
There's too many times I thought, when you look at, and this is another sort of a black mark on the Farhan era, there are too many times the last couple of years where you would see things, and you would go, is this big league baseball? What the hell are we doing out here?
Yeah.
Trenton Brooks, guys running into each other over at second base, the base running, for God's sakes, the base running. You know what I mean? There were too many moments like that where you're like, this is like what is this? What are we watching here? I don't know. Like, okay, they're a young player, but it's like they're not eight.
Yeah.
Like, you're out there doing stuff that the eight-year-olds are learning. You're 22 or you're 25. You're in the major leagues. Sometimes I feel like we do that with young players. Well, you didn't know that, you know, you're supposed to turn two when there's a runner at first. It's like, what are we doing? This is, come on. Coach them up, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Will in the East Bay, next on with Willard and Dibs. Hi, Will. What's up?
Good to talk to you guys. My God, I'm shocked. I talked a minute or two ago. I think Dibs said on this, you know, about 10 or 15 minutes ago, and it's the scouting, okay? Two things, all right? We need to take a good look at the scouting, okay? I mean, this is no coincidence that the Dodgers, you know, have this, you know, funnel of players coming into the league that succeed, you know, and they either get traded and next man up or whatever. But that's my feeling with the Giants. So you got to look at the scouting, okay? There's another thing. When you're trying to, you know, get a guy on your team, a left-handed hitter, they know what that left, you know, that ominous wall in left field or in right field looks like, okay, to hit a home run or whatever. And it is ominous. And there's also this feeling, you know, that those beautiful summer nights in San Francisco, you know, with the fog rolling in and the cool air, it's hard to hit. It's heavy air. It's hard to hit a ball out of there, okay? And I'm just saying, I thought Dibs really hit on it on the scouting. We need to maybe take a really good evaluation of the scouting staff. And we know what's going on with the Dodgers, the Orioles, or whatever, okay? A lot of success there. But that's my point. By the way, I want to weigh in when the time is right, not tonight. Pete Rose passed. But I have memories of watching him as a Red and as a Philly, okay? And I think hopefully you're going to do a program on that, you know, in the next day or two.
I can promise you that we won't, Will. So if you want to say something about Pete Rose, you got about 20 seconds right now. Sorry, we're going to be talking a whole lot of 49er football for the remainder of the week. Giants, too, by the way, with a big press conference tomorrow.
Okay, well, I understand that. Okay, but I'm telling you, 110%, okay? He's a pathetic figure in death, okay? But when I saw this guy play, nobody played like this guy. Nobody had more passion for the game. Nobody played more positions than Pete Rose, okay? And maybe when the smoke clears, you'll do a program on it, okay, Willard? Because I think he deserves that a little bit more. That's my take.
Appreciate it. Charlie Hustle. And I just will say this from my own experience with Pete Rose, having interviewed him probably 10 or 15 times over the years, always made himself available, always had a strong opinion. And, yeah, like him or hate him and whatever you think about what he did, he was, as a player, I remember as a kid, Charlie Hustle's a player. Caller was right. No one played harder.
Yeah.
He goes down as the hit king.
Well, and people may not remember this. He's one of the first voices that came on with us a number of months ago when Willie Mays passed away to weigh in. And who knew on that day that he was only had about 3 or 4 months left himself.
Yeah.
So pretty crazy. All right. Still time for some calls if you want to weigh in. 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts, Willard and Dibbs.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
This is fresh and somewhat interesting and unexpected.
I'll be the judge of that.
So, this torn ACL for Rashee Rice?
Yeah.
Might not be a torn ACL for Rashee Rice.
It reattached? Please explain.
Well, it was never confirmed
please
that
explain.
It was torn. So yesterday, remember, the reports are there's fear of a torn ACL.
Of course.
9 times out of 10, whenever that happens, you get a torn ACL. Maybe better than 9 times out of 10. Maybe 99 out of 100. When Schefter tells you there's fear of a torn ACL, it's usually a torn ACL. Because doctors can feel that thing right there on the sideline. They do a little boop, 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 boop. Yep, there's no ACL.
All you have to do is just, you wiggle the leg a little bit, and it's like, you got no ACL, dog.
Wiggle it just a little bit. Okay, so Schefter, 7 minutes ago, after further testing.
According to sources.
Rashee Rice's knee.
Thank you.
There remains uncertainty over the extent of his injury. After consulting with team doctors and receiving second opinions, more tests are required to determine the full extent of Rice's injury and his recovery timeline. No answers are expected until next week. So it doesn't mean that he's magically going to play this weekend. Quite the contrary. However, you're going to see all over Twitter, if you follow this, all of the Twitter docs, like Doc Pandio, who will join us on Wednesday this week, immediately say, if it's not definitive, then that's air quotes good news. It doesn't mean that it's not torn. It doesn't mean that it's not season ending, but at least there's some mystery to maybe it's not, like, because this is a very cut and dry thing. Is it torn or is it not? And if they're doing all these tests, that would suggest that at least it brings some other possibility to the party.
Yes, it could be a partially torn ACL, which when you do that test and it doesn't immediately have that feel of no ACL, you can't really get the MRI until the swelling goes down traditionally. So that's where I tore my ACL and didn't have the MRI for about 4 days because you wait for the swelling to go down, even though it was pretty clear that that baby was torn. So maybe he gets an MRI in the next couple of days and you see the severity of the injury.
Yeah, it could be a partial tear. I can't think of it being just totally intact. That would be weird based on this process. And a partial tear may well still mean surgery and the end of the year for Rashee Rice. But a little something to think about there for the Chiefs receiving core. And if he is out for the year, boy, well, they're not going to get on the phone for Devontae Adams because the Raiders would never deal him to the Chiefs. But any of these receivers who might be available, I mean, listen, I am not a fan of the $30+ million contract for wide receivers. I'm just not. Because I don't think they're that tied to winning. But at a certain point, good God, yeah, you do need somebody to throw the ball to.
Right.
Hollywood Brown, not coming. Rashee Rice, hurt. Isaiah Pacheco, hurt. Travis Kelce, getting older.
Chiefs, 4-0.
Yeah. 4-0.
I have a guy in mind for Kansas City.
Is it Brandon Ayuk?
Well, you kind of stole the punchline, because I was going to talk about a guy who has a penchant for wearing red.
That's my bad. That's my fault.
A guy has been known to don red shorts. I believe the Chiefs wear red.
Kyle
you kind of jumped the punchline. It also was going to be kind of funny. You blew it, and it was going to transition you into your next story. You double blew it. Yes, Brandon Ayuk, go ahead and play the sound. I'm so done with this day. So over you.
I mean, this is my bad.
I have an idea, Mark. This guy who likes to wear red.
I jumped the gun, all right?
You did jump
it. False start. It's 5 yards. It's not the end of the game.
Oh, you mean Brandon Ayuk.
It's just 1st and 15. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I told you your Lions pick was going to be an Ottoman game. I did tell you that.
You did. My Dolphin pick is looking a little tenuous, but it's early.
It's early. Okay, so remember Shanahan was asked on Friday, hey, did Brandon wear the wrong shorts? And he's like, yes, good question. And then that was about the end of that. Well, he was asked again after the game and in today's conference call, or I guess this was actually after the game that Kyle was asked. So this is at the podium yesterday, Shortsgate with Brandon Ayuk.
I didn't see what he threw. Maybe he was just joking, laughing about throwing a shoe. Maybe he didn't like a shoe. I didn't interview him about his shoe toss. But I hate some of the clothes I got to wear out there also. But it is what it is.
Okay. Anything new for you there?
No. And I think that it is more lighthearted than maybe we were portraying it on Friday when we did almost the entire show on it.
Oh, I don't agree at all.
He clearly is not so bothered that he's not joking around about it.
I don't think any of us ever said that Kyle Shanahan was, like, losing sleep over this. To me, that's not the issue.
No, the issue is that he wore the wrong shorts, and he did it knowingly, and his assistant coach gave him the right shorts and stuff, and he still didn't put them on, and that shows immaturity and petulance. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, and then two more catches for a grand total of 4 games of what are we at now? 7?
Yeah, a little more than that.
What do we got?
I think he's probably up about 10 or 11 through 4.
13 catches.
Yeah. He had 5 targets. I thought he had 6 yesterday, according to my notes. I'll have to go back and watch it again a third time, but they clearly didn't need him. He got the first target of the game, Brandon Ayuk, and a big catch down the field, and he made one amazing catch.
So averaging
Superman that ball.
Great catch. Look, he's a very good player. Who's averaging 42 yards a game?
Yeah, and they don't really need him. They didn't need a lot yesterday, but they certainly didn't need him.
If you don't need him, then don't pay him $30 million.
Well, that ship done sailed now.
I know. Anyway, I just wanted to play that to see if there was anything new from Kyle Shanahan. But, like, you read that as it's lighthearted. I don't think it ever wasn't, like, at least in a press conference form, it was never not lighthearted. But Kyle is also like, yeah, boy, I'd love to wear something else too, but I can't. So there you go. That's the end of that. Like, in other words, this is a rule. This is a rule. We're not budging. You follow the rule. So
it's funny because he had said on the TK pod over the summer, Kyle had, that there are certain rules that he puts out the first day of camp. He lays out the rules, and that's one thing from which he does not budge. And I'm sure this was one of those rules. And so when he comes out in the red shorts, Kyle Shanahan, you know, meeting time and certain demeanor things. Kyle Shanahan was very clear in the Tim Kawakami podcast about rules are rules and I don't bend them for anybody.
Right.
And here you have a guy wearing red shorts.
The shorts are black.
Fourth on the team in catches, by the way.
Fourth on the team in catches?
Yeah, Juwan, Debo, George, and then Brandon Ayuk.
Brandon.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Charles in South City real quick after a big Giants day. Hey, Charles, thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me on, guys. It's been a minute since I called. I just want to weigh in on the whole thing with Buster and obviously Farhan gone. First and foremost, to all Giants fans, let's rejoice, my friends, because we're finally free. Second, I feel like Buster's going to be a huge, I mean, he's already valuable to his organization. You know, the fact that he played for many years, and he's soon to be a Hall of Famer. And him stepping up, taking the job as, you know, the president of baseball ops. And I feel like he's a great fit because, you know, he knows Giants baseball at the back of his hand. And what better way to bring in the guy who played for us a couple years back, or 3 years ago, during one of the, in his last year, when we had one of the best winning seasons in the history of this organization. So I feel like you bring a guy in like that, he's the type of guy that, you know, bring Giants baseball back to San Francisco, because with Farhan here, I can honestly say he has separated this fan base from the team. We don't even know who we don't even know who's playing out there. All these journeymen, we want someone we can grab a hold on to. And with Buster, I feel like we have a better chance of that. So I like the move, and I'm not expecting any moves from Posey immediately out the gate in the next few months during free agency, but I believe the future is bright for this team, and look out, playoffs hopefully next year. But thanks for taking a call, guys. Have a good one.
Charles, right, Charles, thanks. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the idea is in one afternoon, you went from, as a Giants fan, completely angry to now optimistic that they will make the playoffs next year, and the roster didn't change one bit.
Yeah, I mean...
and that's why they did it.
Right, yeah. That's exactly why.
Yeah,
it's like you go back to your car, and somebody had smashed in your window, and then you go in and you got glass in your car seat, and you're like, man, somebody smashed in my window, and then you look inside the door, and the burglar... left his wallet there, and there's $1,000 in the wallet. It's like, oh, okay. I worked out all right.
You know what's coming up next?
It's the football hour.
It is.
With Sterling and Grandy.
No.
Kyle and Grandy.
Yes, it's, yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Mark Grandy and Kyle Madsen.
Almost got my first buzzer of the week.
They're going to talk football. They're going to talk football. It's going to be a Buster Posey free hour coming up.
I like
it. Yeah, it's all going to be Niners.
1 hour to talk about Ronnie Bell as a healthy scratch.
You got a teaser take, Grandy, you want to give us?
Does style points matter? Do you care?
Okay.
We're going to get into this tomorrow.
I like that. Okay. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. You just mentioned tomorrow. You want to do it again tomorrow?
It turns out I'm committed.
All right. You'll be here. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.